Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Question for you. If you could go back in time, you know, back to the future kind of a deal, and talk to your younger self, what would you tell yourself? What would be different? You know, that song, Dear Younger Me, got me thinking about that. And we did a program, I don't know, a month or two ago, and we had such demand for it, I thought we'd come back and kind of play that little game again today. And so if you want to join in, if you could go back and talk to a younger you, what would you tell yourself? We'll learn from each other. Okay, this is Intentional Living. Phone lines open. We'll get to those calls in a moment. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. I could think of a few things I would tell myself, a younger me. How about you, Sally? Would you tell a younger Sally a few things? I could say, oh, yeah, right. There'd be a few things. I think we all would. And not that we want to live in the past, but we can learn from the past to move the future. That's the goal here. So anyway, you're welcome to join in if you want to join in and share what you tell a younger self. 888-888-1717 is the number. We'll get to those in a little bit. But first, let's go to Cece, I think, has a question for me in Arizona. Cece, go ahead.
Hi, this is Cece from Phoenix, Arizona. And I wanted to ask a sincere question. How do I get my kids to go to church with me? I love to go to church, and I thrive from hearing the word and the gospel of Jesus. I encourage my children to go to church with me every Sunday, but I don't force it on them. They don't want to go with me. They want to stay home and play video games and kick back and just relax. It means so much to me.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Cece. Isn't it true in life, though, the things that really turn our crank, the things that we get excited about, the things we're passionate about, other people, especially people who are not interested in the same thing, find either boring or disinterested? Let's face it, if they're not being drawn by God, if their spirit isn't sensitive to God, not wanting to grow spiritually, then they see church as just a place where it's boring and they sing the same songs and I don't know what the guy's talking about and I'm looking at my watch and when is this going to be over and let's get on with it. And so what you're passionate about, because God is in your life, Christ is in your life, the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, isn't something that your kids are excited about. Now, on a practical level, you didn't say how old they were, Cece. I'm assuming they're teenagers. I mean, if they're 5 years old, you know, we're not going to sit and discuss it. We're going to say, hey, this is just a pattern. It's a habit. It's what we're developing. It's what we want our family to do. But if they're teenagers, I would go to them if they're mine. I'd say, hey, kids, hey, listen, guys, I love you guys. All week long, we're giving, sharing, I'm cooking meals, taking care of you. We're doing things together. I'm not asking too much to say, hey, I want you to come with me. It's important for me if you're with me. It may not be something you're excited about. It may not be something that turns your crank, but it's important to me to have us go as a family. And I'm asking you to join me every Sunday just for this hour that we can be together as a family in church. And I hope the church is a place, your church is a place where God's word is being taught, that there's a passion and motivation for God's word, where you're really connecting around what the meaning is to being a Christian, that your young people will be excited about what they hear, maybe something they never thought of before and the scripture is shared. So anyway, I wouldn't just let them lay back and just ignore them and not put pressure on them. I'd say, hey, during the week, we're cooking meals, we're doing laundry, I'm taking you places, I'm not asking too much, I'd like to have you join me. And be interesting, I wonder what others have done. All right. Hey, listen, the lines are getting really full here. We'd love to have you join us on Dear Younger Me. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. When you think about a younger self, you know, going back maybe 15, 20 years, maybe to your childhood, what would you tell yourself? One thing that you would share with yourself if you could whisper in your ear. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do that? We try to do it with our kids, don't we? Our kids and our grandkids, we try to share with them the wisdom. Have you ever noticed it goes in one ear and it goes right out the other? Yeah, Dad, thank you. but that's part of the process, I guess, that we all have to learn along the way. That'd be one thing I would tell myself. Listen to the wisdom of those who've gone ahead before you. There are men and women who've been down the road, learned things, seen things. They're not as geeky and out of touch as you think they are. they may not be as wired technologically as you are, but maybe they're in touch with what life is all about. Listen to them. Learn from your elders. All right. What would you tell a younger self? 888-888-1717 is number. Want to go to another call here? I think, let's see. We got Alicia on the line from Michigan. Alicia, what's your question? Go ahead.
I have a blended family, and my husband has a 17-year-old daughter who we've been having a lot of issues with lying, and it's been a struggle because of the trust issues. And my husband and I have been both so fed up that we found ourselves disengaging from our daughter. And I talked to him about it and told him that, you know, I've really been trying to come out of that, that, you know, we need to give her grace and show her love, even though she's been hurting us. And he can't seem to come out of it. And I've only talked to him about it twice because I don't want him to feel like I'm preaching at him, which is what he said I was doing. I guess I don't really know how to go about this because she's my stepdaughter, and I feel like I don't have a lot of say in the whole matter, but I'm concerned for when our children get older. I don't really know how to handle this, so I'd love some advice.
Yeah, it's interesting. Alicia, you, typically it'd be the other way around. The blended family, it's the quote stepmom or dad that's upset about the lying kid and why we tolerate that, and the biological parent or the parent that's been there for the years is the one that's thinking, hey, you know, let's give him some grace. So there's a flip here a little bit. I think I just talked to your husband. You know, I think I just sit down and talk to him and just say, honey, I love you, and I want the best for you and for our daughter, and she's lying. I think you said it was a she, right? Yeah, she's lying. And it's not something we're going to accept. And if she lies, I treat her as though she's been a liar. You know, I think one of the things we do sometimes is we try to change a child without letting them experience the consequence. If you've got a child who's a liar, treat them as though they're a liar. What does that mean? Well, let's say it's a 16-year-old and they're coming to use the car. And they've had a pattern of not being honest with you. And they say, well, I'm going to use the car. So we're not using the car tonight. In fact, you're not going to use the car until I can trust that what you tell me is the truth. Well, what does that mean? I'm going over to my friend's house, and I'll be back at 10 o'clock tonight. How do I know that? Because, you know, yesterday you said this was going to happen, or you were going to be home at 5 and you didn't call, or I asked you if you had done that and you said no. So when do I know when you're telling me the truth and when you're not? Well, I'm telling you the truth. Well, I don't know that. But when I start to see that I can trust you, then we can talk about the car. There's a consequence. Parents, getting in their kids' faces and telling them, you shouldn't lie. God doesn't like it when you lie. Well, that's true. But what's going to be helpful with your child is to let them experience what happens to people who lie. And that's in the culture in which we live today, that's a difficult thing, frankly. But it begins in our homes, teaching our kids through natural and logical consequences. All right. Hey, listen, we'll take a quick break. Be back. Dear younger me, standing by. Lots of calls. We're going to hear your stories. If you could go back and tell a younger self one thing, what would it be? 888-888-1717.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family? Yeah, you. That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like, and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
There's a second danger moment, though, and that's to say no whenever you mean yes. I think that's equally dangerous. It, you know, it can result in some short-term relief from stress and discomfort, but typically, if you say no when God is really prompting you to say yes, it will result in long-term regret and mediocrity. And the key here is God's will, knowing what God's will is in your life.
for your money, for your relationships.
That's an excerpt from this month's teaching, The Power of Yes and No, two one-syllable words that can change your life. You say yes when you mean no, it changes your life. Or you should have said no. Or you say no when you should have said yes. That's kind of a Dear Younger Me thing, isn't it? That's the teaching this month, members. Just a word to you. You should have received it by now as a member. Thank you for your support. If you're not a member, last call as we're wrapping up November. As you join us in support as a new member of Intentional Living, we'll get this to you. And then every month, a brand new teaching from me to you to say thanks. And next month, it's going to be on when life doesn't make sense. How do you deal with it intentionally? And by the way, right now, when you join us with an ongoing monthly gift of any amount, or if you share a generous single gift today, we're going to send you a neat small book that we have called Made to Thrive at Christmas. Quotes and thoughts and things to consider during this Christmas season as a way of saying thanks. So go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or you can call today during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717 and press number 4. By the way, if you become a member, members, a word to you, coming up in 2019, starting in January, we're going to have a whole year of living on purpose. All the teaching is going to focus on the power of purpose in our life. Looking forward to it. So if you're not a member, come and join us today. If you are, continue standing with us. Thank you for that. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Dear Younger Me, you have no idea what those 5 busy children will give to your life. Invest in them more than you did. Enjoy them more than you did. And encourage them more than you did. And they give back so much more than you could ever imagine.
And if I was to tell a younger me, I think what I'd tell myself is to remember that everybody I meet, everybody I'll ever meet, is an image bearer of God and therefore is deserving of all of this respect and honor that they should get.
If I could speak to my younger self right now, I would say, obey God. He has the best intentions for your life. And if you could just listen to him, even though it's hard and you don't want to do what he is telling you to do at that moment, trust him and know that his ways are higher than our ways and he knows what's best for us. Even if it feels like it's hard and it feels like you can't get through it, he is able and he can and he will make a way for you.
Hey, listen, this is a valuable moment in Intentional Living. Everything you're hearing is value add to your life as people tell you what they would tell themselves at a younger point in their life. They would do it over again. This is free to you, but valuable. Okay? Let's go to the calls. People want to share in on this. You're welcome to join us as well. 888-888-1717. Justin, Arizona, thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Dr. Randy.
Good morning. Good.
So if I could go back and give myself one piece of advice, the one thing would definitely be how important an education is. And early on, building that foundation helps you so much. I didn't pay attention in high school. I was running around with the wrong crowd and just skating by. And by the time I realized that I've got a wife and we're going to start a family, hey, I need to get an education, I had to teach myself algebra in my 20s because I never paid attention. And if I could have just paid attention and learned what other values, what other forms of discipline could that have given me to help me in other areas of life. Mm-hmm. But an education is something, once you get that piece of paper, that's something that nobody can take away from you. And you can always use that to help better yourself.
No, I agree with you totally, Justin. Education is a value add to life. What I do hear, though, is you're pretty disciplined learning algebra in your 20s by yourself. My guess is it turned out all right for you in life. What do you do in life?
Well, surprisingly, I work in the electronics field and very math, algebra, calculus driven. But I had to buckle down.
Yeah, you had to do it the hard way.
You had to do it the hard way. And when you're an adult and trying to find your way just as an adult and trying to learn, it was kind of a double whammy. And if I could have just sat myself down and just giving myself a glimpse of what the future can hold by just paying attention in school, by doing the work and listening and learning that.
Good.
But I mean, all that second to my relationship with the Lord, I definitely would have told myself to trust in the Lord a lot more than what I did.
Mm. Good stuff. Thank you, Justin. I see parents all over America, if they happen to have their young people in the car today for some reason, turn the radio up. Listen to this guy. Get your algebra book out. Do it now. Don't wait until you're 22 and have to do it then. Okay, thank you, Justin. Appreciate it. Let's go to Melody in Michigan with the Dear Younger Me. What would you tell younger Melody? Go ahead.
I would say your parents really are intelligent and listen to what they say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wait till my late 20s to look back and say, wow, they really did know what they were talking
about. It's amazing how smart our parents become when we're about 25.
I actually told them that. I said, you guys have gotten a lot smarter since I was little.
Hey, can you think of one thing that you could share that you wish you had said, Mom, your dad, you're right?
The friends that you surround yourself with do influence you and your decisions, and make sure that you surround yourself with friends that are going to help you make positive decisions in life.
Yeah, because at the time you're thinking, well, you don't know. You're just an old fogey, and these are my friends.
Right.
And
we
become like the people we hang around with, but we don't think about that when we're, 15, 16 years old.
Oh, that's right, because we know everything. I wish that I would – I wish I was intelligent as what I thought I was when I was 15.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, thank you, Melody. Appreciate your call today. All right. We're talking about Dear Younger Me. We had such a response to this when we did this, a month or two ago. We thought we'd bring it back online here for you today. What would you tell a younger you? If you could go back when you were 15 or younger, what one thing would you say? Would you say, listen to me, and scream into the ear of that young person? What would you say? Love to hear it. 888-888-1717. Let's go to Helen, who wants to talk to a younger Helen. Go right ahead.
Hi. If I could go backwards, I would not be unevenly yoked. You kind of think you can change them, but if God has closed their hearts and minds, you can't. And my husband, he's deceased now, and I cannot believe the difference between how my faith has grown since he's been gone, because I wasn't being held back by him. I think a lot of times people think that, they're competing with Jesus if you are too active, et cetera, which is my case. But I was married to him for over 40 years, and I did in the end. When he was very ill, he says he accepted the Lord, so I don't know, because I consistently worked on him gently, but it really is not a good thing.
Yeah,
just wanted to warn young people.
And that's a good reminder. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked, and we honor marriage here, and I respect the fact 40 years unequally yoked, you made that marriage work, and to love your husband, care for him, but even though you weren't on the same page, but there was grief in terms of not being on the same page as a result of being disobedient. Now, let me ask you, go back to when you were dating. Did you have family or friends say, Helen, you're not on the same page?
Not really, because at that point, I guess my faith wasn't as strong as it grew. Mm. But I was always a Christian, but not really. And I wish there had been. I wish people had warned me, but they didn't. So.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you grew. And one of the things we talk about in marriage is sometimes in a marriage relationship, you get started in your 20s, maybe early 20s, maybe even before you're 20, and over time you change. Sometimes people change intellectually, they change in their education, and certainly spiritually, and one person, I don't know how else to put it, kind of outgrows the other person in some areas. And that creates tension in a relationship. And so being aware that this particular area, spiritual area, is critical. All right, have time for one more? All right. We're talking about Dear Younger Me. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stay right here in studio, because our lines are getting pretty full, and we're going to record these for another broadcast that'll come down the road in a couple weeks. So continue to call. Tell us about, if you could go back and talk to a younger you, what would you tell yourself? Share with America. Share with the world tuning in. Maybe one person needs to hear your counsel intentionally. 888-888-1717. Okay, Monique is on the line in New Mexico. What would you tell younger self? Good, go ahead.
So if I went back to when I was going through my hormone changes, I would tell myself that God has the right person waiting for me. Focus on my education, focus on growing spiritually, and God will send that person my way. I learned the hard way and became a teen mother, and I've worked very hard to be in the position I'm in. And, you know, when I found the Bible and I found my father, that, you know, I was healed and I was able to grow spiritually, and now I have a husband. So, you know, I wouldn't have had to go through all of that heartache had I just been patient. And so... patience is major in all aspects of life.
Absolutely, Monique. And I think you're an example in all the calls that are coming in that none of us live a perfect life. We're all, I'm convinced, we get to the end of life. We're going to look back. All of us, no matter what kind of life you chose, no matter how intentional you were, there's always going to be areas you say, I could have, should have, perhaps, regret. But we don't live there. God is a God of restoration, a God of forgiveness, a God of putting things back together, making things right. And the other thing to keep in mind for some of you today, as you listen to this and you say, oh man, if I could have gone back, I wouldn't have made that stupid decision. What is God teaching you through the process? What are we learning through the decisions we've made in the past that we now regret or look back on wishing we had done it in a different way? You never know. I mean, we can't go back and change the course. We are where we are. And that's why we begin today by being intentional today. This is great. You're welcome to join in. We love hearing your stories. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Having instant access to important information is something we've come to expect as part of life in this day and age. And now, you can have instant access to a plan for success in every area of your life with the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Search by topic for audio and video clips from Dr. Randy Carlson on things like marriage, finance, parenting, and more.
I will show you how to create a clear picture for your future.
You can interact with the Intentional Living blog and even listen to the daily program at a time that works for you. Download it today for instant access to things that matter from the Intentional Living Center.
Hey, listen, if you don't have that app, I hope you get it. It's neat. A lot of helpful things there for you. By the way, let me just say to members, those of you who are regular supporters of the ministry, and to everyone, but especially to members, starting in 2019, starting in January, we're beginning a journey called this year of living on purpose. And all the monthly teaching the members will be on that topic. Really looking forward to it. We're going to weave it into what we do on the air. And it's going to be a theme throughout the year because it really is at the core of what intentional living is all about. Living on purpose, 2019. All right. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun and life-changing. We got time. Diane wants to join in from Michigan. With a follow-up, I guess, from an earlier caller. Go right ahead, Diane. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Randy. I appreciate your station and what you do for everybody. This is in response to a call that you had earlier, and I believe her name was Alicia from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also from Michigan. And I think that if the parents would change the way that they're parenting their teenager. I know that she's a stepmom.
But by the way, for those who didn't hear this, Alicia's call was about a blended family, and they had in her case, it was a stepdaughter who was lying, and it was creating tension in their marriage. But go right ahead.
Right. If they will give her love, they will get love in return. If they discipline her by ignoring her and not being a part of her life, eventually they won't be a part of her life.
Yeah, that's true.
So they need to parent with love. And about the lying, we have a granddaughter that we had an issue with that for a long time. She's 22 now and has a child of her own. But the way that we dealt with the lying is immediately when you know that your child is lying to you, say to them, "We know that you're lying." And if they say, "No, I'm not, no, I'm not," you just say, "I know you are," and you drop it.
Mm-hmm. But and then I would add to that, by the way, I agree. What I'd add to that, Diane, is then when the next time they come and they want you to trust them on something that they want to do, it could be a simple thing, going to see a friend down the street or play on the video games or whatever it is, just say, "Honey, I'd love to help you out. I really would. I wish you could go do that. But, you know, remember earlier we talked about lying? You said, no, you weren't lying. We know you were lying. I mean, we're not stupid people. We're your parents. And when we just don't know if we can trust you to go to your friend's house and be home when you say you're going to be home because you didn't tell us the truth last time." And that's love. Love, by the way, is not always gushy and soft and sweet and you just do whatever you want. That's permissiveness. And God is not a permissive God. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of consequence. And you read scripture, you see that. And we love the squishy, caring, huggy side of life, but sometimes not the discipline side. And that's a good reminder. All right. Thank you, Diane. Appreciate your call from Michigan. As I said, we're going to stay here in studio because the lines are busy with people right now, jammed, who want to tell us what they would like to whisper into the ear of a younger self. And we're going to record those and we're going to share them on a program coming up right near the end of the year, last week of December. So anyway, you're welcome to call and we'll try to get you on the air. 888-888-1717. I want to thank Rob, our senior producer. Steven, thank you. He's on the phone screening calls. Sally, thank you for your work. Sally is the nice lady who calls you back. Make sure to get you all set up on the phone. She's usually a nice lady. You a nice lady today, Sally? Okay. All right. And I'm Randy Carlson for the entire team here at Intentional Living, here and upstairs and around the building. We say thank you for being a part of this ministry. Here's what we believe: true success in life, permanent solutions, the leading a real life of peace and freedom comes from living an intentional life in Christ. We'll see you next time.